Oh yeah, gobble gobble to you. Happy Thanksgiving. It is the Morning Combat Mailbag Holiday Edition. I don't know if maybe you hate your family and this is the only thing you got going for you. We'll consider us with you. I'm the American Alpha BC, Brian Campbell. That is Luke Thomas. You know us as your MK duo. And yes, right now in the space-time continuum, Luke, as people are watching this, I'm actually in Jamaica on the beach. About 8 pina coladas deep, got a giant belly, kids running around everywhere. My wife probably hates me. It's paradise.
Yeah, I have to drive to Richmond, which I am not looking forward to. It's not very far away. It's actually when there's no traffic, just a couple of hours. But the stretch of traffic on I-95 is the worst in America, probably worst anywhere outside of Mumbai. And I'm not looking forward to it.
Two of the worst places to drive in the world are actually I-95 and the final stretch in Connecticut and I-95 through New York City. So I wouldn't doubt that I-95 to Richmond is just like that. Obviously, we are pre-recording this, but we wanted to respond to the questions you guys send and have a little fun. Luke, a little precursor here. I've been getting a lot of DMs. Hey, BC, are you getting jaundice? What's up with your yellow eye? Don't forget, guys, I'm old and washed. I slipped off a ladder on some wet and elevated ground while cleaning the gutters the other day. I got a nice little mini black eye, and I actually went for an x-ray today because I screwed up my knee. I don't know if I tore a ligament or a hamstring or something. Luke, I'm just an old mess, but that's...
How was the MRI, I guess is what I'm asking.
The x-ray came clean in terms of any bone issues, but they said I got to go to a specialist to find out what I did to any ligaments or whatever. So it's not too bad.
X-rays are not good for soft tissue damage.
They said there's a calcium deposit, like there's like a fuzzy area where it could be something like that. But I just feel like it's going to snap every time I walk. So, you know, I'll probably just get really drunk and lay around in Jamaica. So it'll be great. But yeah, can't wait to be there. That's where I am right now as you're watching this. And that's that. Okay, Luke, Thanksgiving, you know, you and I have had some epic rants about it. It's my favorite holiday without question. Just a quick reminder why. No gifts, all about family. So there's no pressure on the gifts. Thanksgiving is the holiday, I think you'll agree, Luke, where people travel and come back home the most. So you have the best chance to catch up with people, your old friends, your family. And number three on the three Fs, Luke, family. Food, of course, the food is insanely great. And football, dude, when you come from a factory town, high school football, the rivalry with Ansonia, it's everything. Watching the NFL, playing the family game in the backyard, playing Madden all day. The three Fs go together like, you know, like peanut butter and jelly on Thanksgiving. I love that shit, Luke. Did you have the same affinity growing up for this great holiday?
My family is openly hostile to organized sports. I'm the lone exception in that rule. So the way it works is that if Thanksgiving is at my house, well, it's my rules. I'll put on football. I don't give a damn what anyone has to say. But when I travel to either my brother or my sister's house, whatever it ends up being, it's their rules. And they don't ever watch football. So I end up having to catch it kind of after the fact or when I get home or, you know, whatever it may be. It's not a great scenario.
Those communists. Yeah. I mean, it's a great American holiday because, you know, you just get really gluttonous and enjoy your family and get fed. It's great. So, Luke, we have some fun questions to break down and get into. And anything else you want to say to the fine people before we do that?
Thumbs up on the video and hit subscribe.
I mean, is your favorite show doing this on Thanksgiving? No. So
probably
so
not. Probably not.
So this has got to be the one that should have been. So shout out to us. Shout out to you. Luke, do you want to read the first one here? I'm trying to find my.
Sure, I can do that as we kind of, you know, fuck our way through this. All right. BC, very simple question. What does your Thanksgiving plate look like?
Yes. I have always gone to my dad's side of the family on Thanksgiving. So there's always been a loaded house, a lot of aunts, grandmas that can cook. So the traditional Campbell plate on Thanksgiving, by the way, my mom has also learned how to cook in this manner. She makes a mean Thanksgiving meal. I know you and I have debated and argued in the past, but turkey to me is just something you put on the side. The main course of the meal for us French Canadians is the meat pie. That's the centerpiece. That is incredible. It's a pie crust with some beef, chicken, and turkey all mixed together with some cinnamon spice on top of it. It's that finely grounded, breaded beef. or meat, excuse me, inside of there. And then you put the toppings on. So I'm a mashed potato guy, gravy, corn. Corn to me is such a huge part. The true MVP is the stuffing, though. And then, Luke, we've already debated many times. I like me some cranberry, but I like the cheap, smooth cranberry so sauce. Gross. Not the uppity, you know, actual chunk berries. F that crap. Give me the crap mashed potatoes, the crap gravy with the crap thing, you know, all that. Green bean casserole. I'll throw a little there. I'll do a little turnip. I'll throw a little there just for the variety. Get me a roll. My Aunt Cheryl makes some lasagna with it, which sounds wacky, but it kind of fits in nice when you put it all together. And obviously my plate is overflowing and everything's mixing together, and it's just American joy, Luke. That's what I do on Thanksgiving. What about you?
My brother and my sister are much better cooks than me, so I'm usually at the mercy of what they make, but I'm also lucky in that way. So obviously there would be turkey, but it's going to be prepared. It's going to be like a heritage turkey. You ever had a heritage turkey?
I don't know what that means.
Oh, buddy, you don't even have any concept of what you are missing. If you're going just getting the butterball joints, you got to get the heritage turkey. That's a completely different ball game. It's like the Brock Lesnar of turkeys. I mean, not even it's like going in, like, you know, get riding a Clydesdale as opposed to like a regular horse. It's fucking unbelievable. Okay. It's huge too. So we'd have one of those. My brother would probably make it a number of different ways. I fried it one of my Thanksgivings, which was unbelievable, but they won't do that. But then my brother will always have some kind of red meat that is prepared impeccably. He's big on a sous vide kick. You ever had sous vide meat?
What the hell is sous vide, Luke?
Oh, my God. Dude, where do you eat that you don't know about any of these culinary mechanisms?
First of all, just real quick. I'm usually at a, you know, growing up, I'd be at a Thanksgiving dinner at my grandmother's that had like 55, 60 people. So we're not necessarily, Luke, looking at the most gourmet time put in. You know, it's like a soup kitchen type deal. So we like the slop. Are you talking about super like elite gourmet cooking in your family?
I wouldn't call it like super elite gourmet, but it's basically when they cook it in the bag through a vacuum. Is essentially how it's made. Like ceviche is food cooked in acid, and sous vide is like essentially the vacuum or through pressure anyway, I should say. Although I believe there's a heat component as well through the water. Anyway, long story short, it's the meat comes out insanely tender. From there, it's a bit interesting. So my brother married a very lovely woman, but from the South. So she'll make any kind of pie that's got a fruit in it, like a peach pie or a blueberry pie, and they're always fresh. They're amazing. She makes those from scratch.
Yes.
She makes the mac and cheese. Unbelievably gluttonous. You know, the cheese is just overwhelming. It's amazing. From there, though, it's hard to say exactly. I will be honest, because of my digestive issues. I have like legitimate digestive issues at this age. I got to throw some greens on that plate, man. I don't care to admit it. I'm not recommending it. I'm not saying it's cool.
I mean, I'll do the green bean casserole, but it's like breaded vegetables, basically.
No, I got to have something that kind of helps the food digest. So I'd have a little bit of like, you know, mesclun salad or something. But it's usually a bit of a grab bag from there. From there, like my wife will sometimes make some food.
Ooh, so we'll make like Colombian. So let me ask you this, since yeah. She is a straight from Colombia, but has been in the U.S. a while. Has she adjusted to this whole Thanksgiving idea? She obviously didn't grow up with anything similar, right?
No, there's no such thing like that over there. She's come around to it, but like even then, she didn't really start celebrating until we dated. So that's only the last 10 plus years in the course of her life. That's not that many. She likes it, not as much as Christmas. Christmas is huge in Colombia. It's a big Catholic country, you can kind of imagine, but. She gets around to it. The Colombian empanadas, they're much smaller. They're like almost bite size.
Yeah.
And they're made with like a corn tortilla. So you put like lime on them and whatever else. And they're fucking amazing. So we'll bring some of those.
Okay.
My wife will sometimes make ropa vieja, which is this really good kind of shredded beef. Yeah, dude, I get busy. I get busy on Thanksgiving.
Your brother's wife, though, makes a mean cherry pie. How is her pound cake?
Has she made pound cake? I don't think she's made pound cake for us yet.
Because if somebody can really cook Southern style and can do like the corn muffins and the cornbread and all that shit, I'm down, Luke.
Yeah, that's her specialty. That's her route. And a lot of times she grows the fruit herself. So we're pretty lucky. I'm pretty spoiled. And then for drink, what are you drinking with that?
If I'm going to Uncle Tony's, he's got Bud Light cans. Shout out to Uncle Tony. there's, you know, glass of milk doesn't hurt with that. I like that, Luke. I like that.
I would say with that one, you know, I always find an excuse for red wine. So I'll probably have see what my family comes up with.
You guys are actually pretty sophisticated. Plus you have actual chefs in your, you know, restaurateurs in your family. So
yeah,
that's so what will be the activity? Because, you know, in my house, in my family house, it would be video game tournaments, outdoor football, a lot of eating, telling stories. What do they do at the Thomas house?
I think it's at my sister's place this year. So I think making a fire. I'm not sure. She's got what happens is if whoever's house we rotate at, they kind of just set the rules. We haven't done it at my sister's place in a long time. Also, I didn't go to Thanksgiving last year because of the pandemic. So your guess is as good as mine. I guess we'll see. Obviously, my daughter's going to be with me, so some outdoor activity is going to be inevitable.
Will Pepe and Abuela go?
They will not. They will not. I think they're going to be in Colombia, actually. So it's just going to be me, my wife, and my kid.
All right. Sounds good. You guys are probably enjoying it as we speak, as people are watching this right now. Luke, our second question here is, what are the three fights we need to see in 2022? Now, I think we should include boxing, MMA, Triller, Trigon fight, BKFC, Super Bowls. Luke, we can alternate here one at a time. Let's start with you. What's the number one fight in 2022 in combat sports you need to see?
2022 that I need to see. Now I've got one at the top of my mind. Let me think for just a second if there's a better. Oh, this is easy for me. Max versus Volkanovski.
Oh, simple. Three. Yes.
The third. Like, you know, who's leave or go home or whatever it is. Stay or go home and or winner takes all, whatever you want to say, whatever the proper description is. That is top of the line for me. There's a bunch of other great ones you could go to, actually. It's not that hard to think of several, but I just feel like that has so much weight on it for that division, those two guys' careers, two decorated careers, one Hall of Fame career, at least for now. Could maybe there'll be two down the line. We'll see. But that's a big one. What about you?
It normally would have been Spence Crawford, but I think like a lot of boxing fans, we're sort of souring on the idea. Not that we don't want to see it, not that we don't think it's still possible, but that it's missed its prime window. Because Crawford's 34, Spence is, you know, had a lot of health concerns and now he's got the eye surgery and all that. So look, I'd say my number one most anticipated of one I have to see, I hope we see, you know, it's probably still Fury Joshua for all four belts. And obviously it's like, we may not even get there. We may, you know what I mean? Like Usyk's got to get the rematch. We could see Fury against Dillian White. Boxing politics could play a role. But Luke, you know as good as well as I do, you can get all four heavyweight belts for a first-time undisputed champion, two giant stars. You put it in a soccer stadium outdoors in the UK with 100,000 fans. That has like an actual Super Bowl feel, which we don't always get in this sport. You know, usually our biggest fights are in MGM Grand, which is great, but you know, it's all high rollers. It's a 16,000 people max. We're talking about an outdoor stadium with two larger-than-life personalities to crown the heavyweight king. Even though that style matchup, like every other fight I could offer to you is a better style matchup, probably more competitive, but there's an element of like royalty and luster to this that if we end up getting Fury and Joshua, it'll mean more. It might mean more than any boxing fight since Mayweather Pacquiao.
Ooh. That might be right. That might be right. Because Canelo is doing something absurd and amazing, but a lot of these times you're learning about his opponent for the first time to the right. Casual audience rather than being these two enormous forces colliding. It's a good point. You might be right. Also, like just thinking about what the fan base might want, I would imagine they're going to want the winner of Gone. Well, first of all, you're going to get Gone versus Francis in January, right? Ooh. So there's that. Then the winner of that.
Would you want John Jones versus the winner of that more than you want Gone versus Ngannou?
I would say individual preferences are going to be where they are, but just sort of like looking at where the fan base's interest is at, the answer to that would be unequivocally yes. In part because like, dude, what's he doing? How long is he going to be here? What's it all going to mean? Plus, there's that X factor about Stipe. He's still not done yet. And by the way, maybe he's not necessarily at the peak of his prime, but it might be real dumb to bury him too. Like, there's a lot of ways that the very top of that heavyweight division could play out in a number of different respects. And, you know, by the way, what if Francis and Gon ends up being like, I think we all kind of expect Francis versus Gon to be like decidedly one way or the other, right? Either Francis is going to completely, maybe he'll have some troubles, but, you know, viciously KO him, or Gon's just going to kind of pick him apart over the course of five rounds or however long it lasts and win. Like, you kind of expect one or two of the other two. You're not like, gee, I don't know what's really going to happen here in terms of what the complexion might look like. But who knows? Who knows what that actually ends up being like? There's a lot of different ways you could go.
I'd say my most anticipated MMA fight is one that luckily is already on the calendar. Look, I've convinced myself that Adesanya Whitaker 2 will be everything the first one was maybe supposed to be. And I don't mean I was disappointed by the first one. It's just that it was a little surprising to me, the ease that Adesanya ended up finishing him. You know, I think we're going to see three of these. And then, well, if I say that, it means I think Whitaker is going to win the second one, right? I just think that this is a rivalry that will matter, and that this second one is going to be a tremendous fight. Remember, you know, Adesanya got pushed into like a real dragged down affair with Gastelum. I feel like this has the potential to be that kind of title fight where it's all blood, guts, and glory.
And I, you know, just look at how many times we've seen two great fighters, and sometimes the first time they meet, it's, you know, one-sided as hell, right?
Sure.
But then someone makes an adjustment, and maybe the ledger doesn't change in terms of who won and who lost. Like, in other words, the same person wins both. But that second fight is a completely different story. First of all, I am not in any way dismissing Whitaker's chances of winning. I think they are as real as they have ever been, probably the very best. In fact, that's sort of the point I'm making. I don't know who's going to win that one, but I am guessing it's going to be razor close. Well, razor close. If Adesanya smokes him twice, I mean, that would be an extraordinary achievement.
And I favored Whitaker in the first one. I think the betting odds did as well. And I never thought we'd get here, but I actually think he might be in a better place, you know, than he was then with this win streak. So that really ups the ante on what I expect. Luke, what would you say is your number three most anticipated? You can go wild card here. You could go dream fight. You could go, you know, non-title.
I have one. And I'm not again, this is I'm only saying this because I'm just playing this game a little bit. Maybe it actually isn't my number three. I'll go Shevchenko Nunes 3.
Yes.
I think that I don't know how much time Nunes has left in the sport. Listen, those fights, the first one was fun, actually. It was not great, but it was pretty good. Second fight sucked. It was not awesome. You know, it wasn't a thrilling fight. I mean, when you say it's bad, like, you know, it sounds like you're blaming them. It was what it was, but it was not exciting. I don't think anybody on earth could argue that it was exciting. Third one might be just the same, but I feel like it's important to get that resolution, BC.
I agree with you on that. I would put that in my top five. And I'm trying to think, trying not to get too hipster. You know, what is the fight? What is the fight that I'm freaking dying for, that I need to see?
Don't you feel like Jan Sterling was also one that came to mind?
No, I mean, for a second one, I don't need to see that. I feel like I learned everything I did from the first one. I get pumped for the wild card type fight. So I'm thinking of like Cejudo coming back against somebody you didn't think he would. Now, not necessarily Volkanovski.
How about this? Cejudo-Jan.
Cejudo-Jan would be one of those just hardcore dreams. Yes. 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 Maybe I would put that right there. I think we're at a weird spot in boxing, Luke, where normally I can give you 7, 8, 9, 10, you know, fights I'm hoping for. There's not a ton like leaping out, jumping out at me. So does that mean we've gotten good fights we wanted lately, or we're just at a standstill? I mean, I want Canelo.
Listen, what happens if Porter, you know, we're recording this, you know, at a time where I shouldn't say this, but we don't know if Porter has won against Crawford or not. Like, we don't know. So there's a lot. I mean, you just, dude, you every time, this is what it, true or false, BC. And it's more true in MMA because MMA is super chaotic and so young that the sport is still evolving. It's a little less true in boxing, but it is true in both. Dude, every time you feel like you know how the contours of the game works, like, okay, these kinds of guys beat these kinds of guys, that one's going to beat this one loses, this camp is better. Every time you feel like you've got it sorted, some result comes through and just shakes up all that shit. And you're like, nope, that's actually not the way it works. And so you have to rethink things all the time. You know, in the spirit of that, who knows what could happen between now and then.
What I was forgetting was the lightweight division in boxing and all those young names we always talk about. If I had to make one matchup out of there, Luke, and no, I don't think we're going to see it in 2022. I think my favorite matchup would be Teofimo Lopez against Gervonta Davis. I think imagine that when they're this young. Imagine doing that. Oh,
golly, dude, that would. I told BC this after it happened. it's been a long while since I had covered boxing in a relatively consistent way, almost 10 years or more, really. And, you know, so in my mind, boxing has still been sort of a mental prioritization on the back burner for me. And but I don't want to live that way. The way I want to live is that the best fight should live on the front burner, whatever that may end up being, including kickboxing or whatever. Like, I want the best fights to be on the front burner for me personally. I'm not telling anyone else to live that way. And then after the Canelo fight was over, when he delivered, dude, he had that crowd eating out of his fucking palm, man. You had to be there. It was unbelievable, the support this guy has. And then he delivers the way he did. Man, that was the first time in a long time I was like, dude, that I felt much better watching the boxing fight than the UFC fight, which I'm not even making a claim, BC, that the boxing fight was better or that you need to agree. Right. I'm not saying any of that. I'm just saying I finally got that feeling about boxing that I used to have a little bit more regularly. And to your point, Lopez versus Davis in 2022 would I don't know how you couldn't feel that way about that fight, you know?
It's just anytime you could get a fight, which we get all the time in UFC, thank you very much, in boxing, where they're actually younger than older. Like, we always get them when they're either too old or just a little bit past prime. Imagine if you got a super fight a little early and you just had no idea what it's going to look like. That's just the dream, Luke.
All right, we got to move through these a little bit quicker because I got shit to do.
Yeah, you probably have to take one. First of all, you probably have to take
Oh my God, dude. Today it's been unbelievable. I mean, yeah, you just can't imagine.
Please, let's break it down. Luke, like, if you had a
Niagara Falls.
If you had to cook a meal for Gordon Ramsay.
It's my turn. I go now.
Sorry, Luke.
Here we go. Ready? If you, Brian Campbell, had to cook a meal for Gordon Ramsay without getting roasted, which, by the way, I'm not sure if that's possible, but still, what would you try cooking for him?
So the spirit of this question is, what would be your best meal that you could put
right
forward? Whether it's
what is the one you can execute the best?
Man, this really makes me look very sad and pathetic. So I can execute. I can turn meal. You know when I'm at my best? When my wife, it rarely happens, but when she goes away for a full week to a work thing or whatever, and I have to feed the kids, you know, I go for it and I come through. I can follow a recipe. I've had disastrous endings. I've had some good ones, but I don't cook enough to have even established like a couple go-tos. So that shows you how little I cook. I do make a mean baked bean casserole, Luke, but Gordon would shit all over that. You know that.
Yeah, you would probably, because you'd be open. I mean, how many cans do you open up to make that a casserole?
Lot. A lot,
Luke. Yeah, you're going to get murdered for that because you're eating processed foods.
Yeah, so I'm pretty awful. I don't even have
honestly,
an answer.
Dude, I'm not saying that like the way I make it is like super good. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying like, oh, you'd come to my house, this is the best you'd ever have. Not my argument. But the question says, without getting roasted, what they didn't ask for you was to get like super high praise. Oh my God, this is the best ever. Just, all right, I'm not going to kill you for it. How about a steak? I can cook a steak pretty well. Like, I'm not like the best you've ever had. I can roast it over open flame. I know how to season it. I know what kind of beef to look for, what kind of cuts. I've done it a lot. I've got pretty good experience with it. I can do it with a flat iron skillet in the oven for like filet mignon. I can do it out on an open grill too. Like, I'm pretty good at it. Yeah, I think I could do it without getting murdered. I don't think he'd eat the steak and be like, wow, this is like Salt Bay. You should salt it like this from now on. I don't think he would do that, but he might be like, all right, you fucking stupid American bloke, I won't kill you for it. I feel like I can get by on that.
All right. That's fair, Luke. Keeping the countdown rolling, if you could know, God, I love this question. Luke, if you could know the absolute and total truth about one question, what would it be? Wow, Luke. Wow. Would you waste it on something petty because it's been eating at you? Or would you go for something, you know, that proves our existence and our meaning in life? What would you do?
I don't know. That's a really great question. Jesus. It'd be fun to burn it on something stupid, like who shot Kennedy, you know?
Yeah, but it's funny you say it. Right now on my TV, right there, I have paused. Do you see Showtime just came out with that new Oliver Stone JFK, not the movie, which he did, but JFK documentary, which looks at the files that were unearthed in recent years, like the ones that were declassified for years, and it puts together all the lies and all that. It's very interesting, Luke. I would use mine probably on 9/11, to be fair. I would want the Ooh. Absolute truth on 9/11. Just straight up everything. Who knew what? 1,000,000% give me the truth. That's what I would do. I would even want that more than I would want, like, what happens to us after we die? Because I, I, I'm a little bit more content with my belief where of that. So I would want to prove, basically just prove to you, Luke, that I'm not crazy by getting the 9/11 truth. Okay.
So that's one. I guess the one I would ask, because you could get a lot of other answers from this, would be what is the purpose of life? Right? Because if the purpose were to serve some kind of higher power, and whoever was able to answer this question could tell you with unequivocal truth that that was in fact the way in which you live life, that would change a lot for me, right?
Yes.
And you would know several things now all at once and how to orient your life. Like, it kind of solves a lot for you versus,
I feel
you
like
know.
I already know that, Luke. I feel like I already have that answer, okay? To love and be loved and
right. You know, you have an answer. Whether or not it is truthful is a different question, but you do have an answer.
My number two would be the Earth's role in the larger solar system and what's really out there. And you know, if we are the dominant species or not, that is cool. And number three would be, you know, did Houston Alexander accept money to allow Kimbo to slam him all over the octagon that time, right? And not throw any punches.
Or did Stipe tap? We could ask that question as well.
That's a fair one, yes.
All right, BC, number five. What is the most ridiculous thing someone has tricked you into doing or believing?
So I wish I had some, you know, teen hijinks story or, you know, drunken story of somebody playing a elaborate prank and I fell for it. But you know what, if somebody said, like, what's your top three most embarrassed you've ever been in your life? Luke, spoiler alert, if anyone has their children and if they're young listening right now regarding the holidays and that large fat man. Okay. In 3, 2, 1, Luke, when I was a child, I believed everything my parents said, because I will say this about my dad, you know, like anyone else, he's got good and bad qualities, but he's the most honest person I've ever met to a fault. Just the integrity of his honesty is unshakable. I'm not at that level. I aspire to be in a lot of ways. So when they told me Santa Claus was real, despite everyone at school saying no, my sister saying no, you know, most kids, Luke, when did you find out the truth on that? What grade?
Not entirely sure, but pretty early. Like, some of my first memories are of like, oh, I understand what Christmas is about. Like, I don't have a whole lot of memories of Christmas as like Santa being involved.
So, I mean, I purposely, because of this story and how, you know, wounded I am, told my kids very early. And most people tell me, oh, I was 5 or 6 or 7. Luke, I held the belief through fifth grade. So Luke, it's because I would go back to the well to my parents and be like, look,
dude, that is unbelievable. You like, went into class being like, yo, fuck you motherfuckers, Santa is the shit.
That's
fuck
the thing. You. So little by little, you'd hear people going, dude, come on, wake up, it's not real. And then I'd go home, my parents would be like, nope, it is. I remember specifically in fifth grade going to them being like, it's down to me and one other person in my class, Rubina Veloso, shout out. I don't know where she is today. Rubina and I were the only two that still held on, Luke. And people were like making fun of me and clowning me in fifth grade and telling me blah, blah, blah. And I went home that day so upset. And I'm like, mom and dad, I stood in front of them and like defended it to the grave and was like, no, you guys are wrong. You don't understand. My parents said so and they wouldn't lie to me. And then Luke, they were like, oh no, you did that? They were like, okay, maybe we should tell you now. You know, we were lying. Luke, I didn't just defend it like once or twice. I defended it for like multiple years. And finding out your whole world, you know, had been a lie and you had been a liar.
Bro, you were like Malcolm X up in there. We didn't land on Plymouth Rock. Plymouth Rock landed on us.
Yes. I was like the people who went, you know, we're all the way to the death saying no to the vaccine. And I mean, look, it's not good. It's not good. So that's Jesus, the most dude, elaborate.
That's a bad one. I mean, I've had some super embarrassing ones. Tricked. Okay. I mean, I could pick several. I mean, Lord knows my life has been a series of just punctuated, embarrassing moments strung together.
And being lied to. Yeah.
Yeah. One was when I just got assigned to my first Marine Corps unit. It was actually out of Richmond. This is the one I shouted out because I was with them my entire time. Hotel Battery 314, 4th Mar Div. And I checked into the unit and, you know, you meet the INI captain and then they send you to your particular squad for whatever your job is. And I was working because I made a lat move eventually over to the Hill where I would do call for fire missions, but started out as a field radio operator. And so I had to go to the comm section. And I remember I went to the comm section and there, you know, got checked in, got introduced, the whole nine yards. And they were like, "Hey, Thomas," and I had like no rank at this point. I think I was like not even, I think I was a private, like not even private first class, like nothing. And they were like, "Yo, Thomas, we got to go install all these Singar radios. Go get the keys to the Hummer." And I'm like, "Well, where are they?" And they're like, "Go to the motor pool." So I go down to the motor pool and I'm like, "Okay, I'm from comms. My, you know, I need the keys to the Humvee, you know, the Hummer." And they're like, "Oh, right. Head down to the gun line. They got the keys." And I'm like, "Why would the fucking keys be at the gun line?" But okay. So I go down to the gun line and I go to the gun line, you know, platoon sergeant or whatever. I'm like, "Okay, I need the keys to the Humvee." And they're like, "Oh, right. Go check in supply." Dude, this fucking shit went on for like 4 days. I'm like, "Dude, where are the motherfucking keys to the motherfucking Humvee? What in the fuck, dude? I've been to the cook. I've been to the fucking sick bay. I mean, this, you couldn't believe the shit they had me doing, climbing up on roofs and shit. Like I was like, where the motherfucking shit are the motherfucking keys of the Humvee? Here's what they don't tell you: military Humvees don't even need keys. You just flick a fucking switch. They don't exist. So they had me chasing this shit for 4 days, asking everyone who mattered at any place, any job. So basically, they had the idea like, "Oh, here comes fucking stupid Thomas. Hey, stupid Thomas, nice to meet you. Great job. Now I've identified you as the fucking idiot from comm who went around and spent 4 days asking everyone for keys to a vehicle that doesn't even need fucking keys."
Oh, that's great. That's great. They were like, "Yeah, go down the street. There's a guy named Jody. When he's done sleeping with your family members, he'll pull it out of his groin.
Jody's got your keys. Am I right?"
All right. Luke, we will keep the countdown rolling here. There's a question for me and you. Let's start with you. Oh, no, let's start with me. BC, I must pick four ex-NBA players who have a minimum of 5 years out of the league to fill out my men's league team. Who am I picking and why?
Dude, I've got two for you that you must pick.
You think the spirit of this question is like, so I could play with my favorite ex-players, or that so I could beat up all the guys in my old guy league?
I think to make the funnest team.
All right.
Oh, to win a championship.
I'm going to pick KG. He's still in incredible shape, and he'll be so, because I am the KG of my weekly old guy league. It's still real to me. Damn it. That's my NBA finals. When I show up there each week, that's my battlefield, Luke. I've got to push people to near punch throwing, because in between those lines is the only place on earth where I'm allowed to fight and scratch and claw. So I want KG next to me. You're going to need a dead eye shooter. So why don't you give me like Mark Price? Remember him, the old Cavs point guard? He's probably in his late 50s now. I guarantee you he's playing some pickup league in suburban Ohio and just raining down.
Bro, Luke, there's two names you have to pick. Have to pick.
Oh, who should?
Number one, Agent Zero, Gilbert Arenas. Yeah. Okay. Got to pick Gilbert Arenas.
You know why that's awesome? Okay. You know why that's awesome? When I play every week in my old guy league, you know what shoes I wear? The 2005 Agent Zero, made specially for the New Orleans NBA All-Star Game shoes that Adidas made, that have like the New Orleans, you know, what's that flower, the
fleur-de-lis.
Yeah, that has that all over them, and it says on the back Zero with a line through it. Dude, I wear those every single time. I would love some Agent Zero in that pickup. But he'd be talking so much trash. Look, when he would do those walk-off three-pointers and turn his back, that's like Al Bundy rolling that strike and you know, turn around and going before it even hits.
Also, yes. Bro, he'll just bring guns in the gym bag to the to the court. Yes, like, y'all want to talk shit? He's got Gilbert strapped, so fuck y'all. And Jason Williams. Remember Jason Williams? Was that his name? Right?
The guy that shot his limo driver? That guy?
No, who was so my 90s knowledge is now. Who was the white guy who went to school with
That's white chocolate Jason Williams from Florida. I was thinking of former Nets NBA All-Star.
I'm talking the guy I went to school with, Randy Moss, who could like no look the shit out of a
basket. Not to be confused with Jay Williams, who I once played basketball against.
But Jason Williams is playing as it today, like in real life, plays in pickup leagues. So like he's kind of like doing that life already. Dude, and Gilbert Arenas, and they would pass the ball to you. They'd get you wide open.
Okay, that's my backcourt. Me, KG, Mark Price, and then I'd take Birdman. Remember Chris Anderson with the wild ass hair and the tats?
I met him.
Oh, you did? What was it like? Mm-hmm. Did you guys do ecstasy together or anything?
No. It was at a MMA event.
Okay. All right, cool. That's it. The other part was, Luke, you are allowed to pick two people to work out with from any time. Who are you working out with and what part of the body on that day?
All right, so this is an easy one, I think. First would be Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
No problem. And we're going to work out chest, because Arnold Schwarzenegger has perhaps the most impressive pectorals genetically, and then even from a guy who was, you know, peaked in the 70s.
Most impressive chest since Anna Nicole Smith.
Yes, I mean, really just huge. Arnold Schwarzenegger has unbelievable titties. Let's just call it what it is. Right? And then, you know, he's all banged up now. Well, so I was going to say Ronnie Coleman, because he's like the other sort of king of bodybuilding. Like, if there's a Mount Rushmore of bodybuilding, it doesn't exist without Schwarzenegger and Ronnie Coleman. Obviously, would need some other ones on there, but those two are be foundational, easiest 1-2 call ever. But, you know, he's all banged up now. What about, like, working out with one of, like, the original strongmen from, like, the 19th century? Dudes who were fucking yoked in, like, 1807 and shit, with, like, circus dumbbells?
That doesn't interest me at all.
Luke, no.
All right.
No. So then to keep it, I mean, Eugene Sandow, who they, the Sandow, folks who don't know, like the Sandow trophy is what they hand out to the winner of Mr. Olympia, the greatest bodybuilding competition in the world. That's the one Schwarzenegger made famous. It's the one Coleman dominated. So I'd say, okay, my answers will be chest with Schwarzenegger, back with Ronnie Coleman. Okay. And then people want me to say legs there. I'm not going to say legs there. And then I would say overhead press with Eugene Sandow. How about that?
As an honorable mention. I don't mean this as a joke. Would you prefer that Arnold was the one that shot you up in the ass? Like, would that be an honor to you?
It would be a great honor to me to do anabolic steroids with Arnold Schwarzenegger in the 70s. Yes.
Can I have the Windrawl, please, and the Stanozol? Yeah. Yes.
Whatever horse... You know, everyone makes fun of people for taking ivermectin for horse pace. Let me tell you something. If they're taking horse steroids and Schwarzenegger says thumbs up, this guy's taking it.
Yeah, you're damn right. By the way, Luke, do you know Max Bretos?
Yes.
He has a tremendous Arnold Schwarzenegger story that he witnessed that he does the voices for. You need to just say straight up, be like, BC's like, tell me the Arnold Schwarzenegger story. And then also be like, tell me the Jean-Claude Van Damme story as well. And it will blow your mind. Luke, actually, you know what? We should do it. If he's willing to tell both stories on camera, I bet that'd probably be our highest watched MK clip.
I actually like the idea. Like, we'll just talk to people that we know who have amazing stories of celebrity encounters.
Todd Grisham has an insane story of working out with Vince McMahon. I'd love to get that on there as well. Yes.
All right. Number 7 for UBC. If you could, now this is what it says. If you could witness any event, past, present, or future, what would it be? I guess they mean literally anything, like the fall of the Berlin Wall or, you know, whatever. It's kind of a dumb question.
Since we often think through, a sports lens, throughout based on our professions, I was thinking more of, like, you know, kind of what we asked you in the Wheel of Death with the donks, you know, what fight would you be ringside for? And, you know, I could easily say, knowing what I know now on the theatrics, imagine being at the Mandalay Bay for Corrales Castillo 1. I mean, it just going through that emotion. I would pick in team sports, I'd pick game 6 of the 86 World Series, Mets Red Sox, just to be in the euphoria of that, because let's not forget they got down, you know, Mets got down to their final strike of that series multiple times in the extra innings there and rallied back. And even though they didn't even win the series with that game, to be a, I mean, Luke, the times that I, in 2000, I told you in the past that I went to both Mets clinching games to beat the Giants and then to beat the Cardinals to go to the Subway Series, and just the euphoria in those games. And they didn't have, you know, exciting endings. They were just regular clinching wins. Dude, that was a drug, man. That was something next level. Could you imagine being in the crowd for your favorite team's, you know, most insane comeback win? I mean, that's probably what I would pick. I mean, the problem with trying to do it like with history, Luke, is it's all bad stuff, right? It's like, well, could I be standing right there when Jack Ruby shot shot Oswald? I mean, that'd be pretty cool, right? It could be on camera. I mean, I don't know. What is the pick here? I mean, could I watch Joan of Arc burn at the stake? I don't know, Luke. What, you know, watch the where we go with this, Luke?
I don't like. Could also, like, any event, could I go back and watch my 8th birthday or something? You know, is that on the table as well?
Can Luke go back and watch his own conceivement? I'm sure.
Yeah, no, fuck that. I'd rather just die altogether. I've kind of answered this one already, but any other thing I would want to see would be,
oh, when my ancestors eliminated the dinosaurs, if I could see that play out in front of me, Luke.
Hey, my daughter's crying. Can you hear?
It sounds like, oh, she does sound upset. Is she feeling better, Luke?
She is feeling better, but now she doesn't want to go to sleep, and it's late. She usually has already napped by now, so now she's cranky. So it's great.
Yeah, it's the weekend. Whatever. Yeah.
What are you going to do? Okay, and I can't go in there and help her because I have shit to do.
They said future. If you could witness any future event, Luke. The first female president getting sworn in, Luke. Would you be there with some go back to the kitchen signs? Was that what you're, is that what you're into would be, Luke? I mean, what are we doing? It's not my take. That's, you know, it's certainly. All right.
This question's dumb. So I'm gonna pass on. Okay. Let's go to the next one.
Luke, what is the story of the last time you were kicked out of a public place?
It's actually a good question. Man, I gotta tell you, from like 2002 to 2010, maybe. No, not that far. 2002 to 2007 or 8. Dude, I got thrown out of half the bars in DC. I mean, it's my life was shambles. What a disaster. So, and New York,
too. What were you largely thrown out for? Being too drunk?
Too drunk, being rowdy, sometimes fighting, just being a complete nuisance, you know? And also, I've told you the story, but that one time I got thrown out of, like, a bunch of places with my Marine friend who came back from Iraq and was drunk, and then we went to the strip club, and he just was an animal, you know? It's, I've had sort of, okay, so the last time, well, technically the last time, I didn't feel like I deserved to get thrown out, but I did get thrown out. I want to say the last time was like 2009. And I went to this bar over on M Street. And I'm in like 19th next to La Bucaria, like this like eatery from the chef. And but I didn't go there. It was like this bar next to it. And I don't know if that bar still exists, but we got our drinks inside and went outside. The weather was nice. I don't remember exactly what time of year it was, but the weather was nice. And I remember there was this like rando, like shitty CVS balloon, like a heart shaped Mickey thing on like barely tied to one of the like the fence posts on the outside of the bar. And I literally thought it was like trash. I mean, I didn't know it was anything. So I grabbed it and I just yanked it off and let it go. Like I was just fucking around. Like I didn't mean anything by it. And the bouncer got like right in my face and was like, "That's it, buddy, you're gone." And I'm like, and I literally didn't even understand what the fuck he was talking about. I'm like, "For what?" He's like, "You're fucking with our property. The balloon was ours." I'm like, "Dude, dude, I will be here and spend money here, trust me. Like, you're gonna throw me out for that shit?" He's like, "Get your shit and go." And I'm like, "Okay, all right." You know, went, got my ID inside the bar, and I mean I'm not gonna fight the guy over, but I was just like, "You're a fucking dumbass, dude, you know, but I guess you can do what you want."
I've been thrown out of 3 different bars for throwing up right out in like the middle of them. I told you that story of getting thrown out of the bar at Seton Hall called The Hall in 1999, where I drank 16 vodka and something else. And I ended up doing the DX chop on my back while grinding in the middle of the dance floor with all a crowd of people around me. And the security guards were like, "You cannot do that here." And they threw me out. I got thrown out of Shea Stadium in 2001. Luke, remember we talked about like putting yourself in unnecessary danger for no reason when you're younger. Mm-hmm. In 2001, I was a reporter for a newspaper. I went to cover a baseball game in Stamford, Connecticut. It rained as I pulled up. They canceled the game. And I was like, "You know what? The Mets are playing tonight. Why don't I just drive to Shea Stadium?" Because I saw that the weather was going to clear up soon. On the drive to Shea Stadium solo, I bought a 6-pack of Bud and drank the whole thing. And then when I got there, Luke, I just started like, I remember I spent $100 in food that night, food and drink on myself, $100 in one crappy regular season game. This is what it's like when you move out and, you know, and you live alone. And I finally was like sitting all over the stadium and getting thrown out of seats. I finally went up to the corner of the left field bleachers at the old Shea Stadium that overlooks the bullpen down below. You remember Jose Mesa, the old closer?
Yes.
Playing for the Phillies then? He had the handlebar mustache and whatever. I just let out like a 15-minute straight assault when he was warming up of like, Jose Mesa, your mom, blah, blah, F. Just like straight up just killing him. And each pitch, he turns around, he looks up, and he's like, give me the middle finger, and he's giving me the blowjob sign. And finally, I just let out like 75 consecutive foul words in a row about his mother. And he was like, fuck you. And he tells the little guy next to him to go get the security card. Within Luke, like 5 minutes, they must have called. Security comes running. They grab me up in the seats, up in the upper deck, and they're like, you're out of here. And I remember I pulled out my ticket. I'm like, I don't care. I got better seats than these anyway. And they didn't throw me out of the stadium, just out of that section. Those were good times. And I'm trying to think, I've probably got something more embarrassing than that.
I've told you the story that's more embarrassing than mine, but I just don't want to repeat it here if I don't.
I know. New Year's Eve, Luke, of 2001, we went out in South Norwalk, Connecticut, went back to the hotel that we had all got. I passed out on the bed. Fire alarm goes off. Okay. Luckily, that would have probably been the night I choked on my own vomit and died, like Bon Scott and Mama Cass. But luckily, the fire alarm's going off and I didn't wake up. So my friends come in because we had multiple rooms. They kick the door down. They drag me out. As they're dragging me out into the center of the front door of the hotel, there's fire engines everywhere. Like somebody pulled the fire alarm or whatever. And I threw up all over the walkway to walk in, just piles everywhere. And this policeman comes over and he goes, Happy New Year. And he walks me over and they stand me up next to the fire engine that's there.
Oh,
a bottle of water, they're just trying to nurse me back. Well, then my friend just started talking.
Dude, I don't have time for this shit, man.
And no one's paying attention to me, Luke. No. Did your video freeze? I don't know if you're still there. I'll finish
the story. Yeah, dude, finish the story. We got to wrap this up in like a handful of minutes,
bro.
I did
not mean to offend you on this holiday, Luke. So anyway, no one's watching me suddenly, and I noticed this. So you ever see the side of a fire engine? They got all those little compartments and extra doors where they keep like the axe in and all this stuff. I just open one up, and I start climbing up into it, Luke, and I'm fitting in sideways, and the police come running over. They're like, I'm like, what the hell are you doing? I go, no, it's okay. My dad's a fireman. It's okay. It's totally fine. I know what I'm doing here. And then they removed me out of there and threw me out of the front of the hotel, Luke. So that was probably the best stories I have. Thank you very much. Keep it rolling, Luke.
I'm glad to see you live a different life now. All right. What is the largest animal you think your co-host could fight off and kill? The largest. What do you think?
Now, that is an interesting question. When you are hiking in the woods with your, you know, wife and daughter or whatever, Luke, and I've had hikes when my kids were small where we have encountered both bears and bobcats, and luckily they didn't come running at us. We kind of stayed quiet and they from a distance went the other way. But you do ask yourself as a man, could I fight that thing off to protect them? Forget me, right? To protect them, Luke. If it came down to you and me together in the woods, I think you could fight off a deer. Anything small,
bobcat, bobcat will fuck your shit up, but I feel like I could, like, if, like, you know, life is on the line type shit.
Yeah. You could snap the neck or some shit. You'd lose your hand, but, Luke, no chance with a bear, no chance.
No, that bear is going to win that 10 times out of 10. Easy.
What's in between a bear and a small crawling animal?
Not much.
Yeah. Not much.
I mean, maybe if we lived in Australia, there might be like mid-sized kangaroos you could kind of give like bus driver uppercuts to.
Yo, they've got good form though. They're you know, they can throw combos and stuff.
Yeah, but maybe again, I wouldn't fuck with wild boars. Fuck that. Nope.
Those are going to tear your shit apart. What about a homeless guy?
So is that the hardest prey?
All right. Luke, let's keep it going. Both of you create a dream fighter. Picking one fighter to use for each category: striking, defense, chin fight, IQ, wrestling, and BJJ. Luke, who is the striking pick on this ultimate male we are concocting in the lab?
A lot of different ways you could go, a lot of different styles. No necessarily one or two or even five or 10 right answers, but I'm going to go Israel Adesanya, modern striker. I like what he offers. By the way, defense is kind of built into that, but okay, but just for the offensive striking component, I'll go Adesanya. What about you?
Francis Ngannou. Not bad.
Pretty good. Okay. All right. Who's got the best defense. That's a tougher one.
DJ?
DJ's got good defense. Who doesn't take a lot of punishment? Honestly, like guys like Khabib don't take a lot of punishment.
Dominic Cruz in his prime?
Dominic Cruz in his prime. Anderson Silva in his prime didn't take a ton of abuse.
That's a great point. You might have, just for that those reflexes, you may have to go Silva. Because he could put himself in insanely dangerous spots and not get hit.
Yeah, also, you could pick like a guy like Floyd if you're going boxing, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And by the way, Luke, for anything that you want to debate about Floyd, like the greatest thing he had is he is on the short list of the greatest defensive fighters of all time. And by short list, I mean like him and Willie Pep. Like, that's one thing you really can't debate. I mean, you know, you could say, he's not as offensively inclined as a Sugar Ray or Sugar Ray Robinson or whatever, but his defense was something that we'll never see again. I mean, that was insane how smart.
I saw this guy doing the seminar on the Philly shell, and he was saying like what it's about. He was actually explaining like how simple it is. Like the Philly shell is not complicated. About when a punch from a certain side comes, what do you do? Whether you roll with it or bend or parry or whatever parry it down. And he was saying though, like it's simple, but the difference is that you have to be a master at slipping. You have to be a master at reading what is coming at you and making a judgment call. And that itself takes, you know, almost decades to get good at, right? You have to start that at a very young age. And you have to get really kind of good at it. Once you've mastered it, you can put it together in the Philly shell package. But he was pointing out that like Floyd is like has impeccable reading on what is flying at him. You rarely ever see him get caught clean. It's super, super, super hard to do that, you know?
Absolutely.
Chin. Who's got the best chin?
He could go a lot of ways. I mean, Roy Nelson took a crap ton of damage and never really.
How about Prime Nogueira?
Yeah.
Prime Nogueira's chin. I mean, he fought Bob Sapp and got spiked on his head and had like a fucked up neck in that fight and still won it, you know?
Prime Fedor?
Chin? He got rocked by Fujita in his prime. That's true. Dude, Nogueira's chin in his prime was like the gold standard. You could say in his prime, BJ Penn's chin was fucking awesome too. Who else had a good chin in his prime? Vanderlei had a pretty good chin in his prime. I mean, he ruined Holloway. That shit, but
Max Holloway
has a sick chin. Yeah.
Fight IQ, Luke, you could go. I would go without question Mayweather in boxing and in MMA. Volkanovski and John Jones are pretty great picks right there, right?
Yep, they have super high fight IQ. And on the women's side, we're not thinking of Valentina Shevchenko has high fight IQ.
Absolutely.
Super high fight IQ.
Rose Namajunas as well, Luke.
Yes. So, I mean, of course, Amanda as well. But, I mean, it just goes without saying. But, you know.
Wrestling, you got to go Khabib or you're doing it wrong, Luke.
Yeah. Who else, though, like, was really, really good and dominant? Dude, John Jones in his time. I think that has waned over time. But certainly in his prime, it was automatic. Takedowns were automatic.
DC.
DC had great takedowns. Yeah. I mean, you couldn't go wrong with him either, honestly.
Don't forget about
the jiu-jitsu is easy.
Huh? BJ Penn, Chuck Liddell, takedown defense.
Yeah, they didn't put it in there, but like BJ Penn in his prime could not be taken down. Max Holloway has phenomenal takedown defense, honestly.
Usman's one of the best wrestlers this sport's ever produced. There's no question about it.
Yeah. I mean, that was the funny thing about Max and Khabib. I would rethink it now because I think Khabib is just too overwhelming a force, even at 155. But I did think that. Remember when Max was briefly going to fill in before Ally Aquinta got the call against Khabib and they actually had the presser?
You mean this?
It is true. Right, I think, I do think Khabib would have overwhelmed Holloway now, having seen a lot more tape. But even at the time, and I still maintain this, dude, Holloway's takedown defense is very, very good. Even if you can bring his body to the mat, that you can do anything with it is almost certainly not true, at least against his 145-pound peers.
By the way, we forgot Mighty Mouse for Fight IQ. He belongs there as well.
Fair enough.
Two fights that never happened. I also have a poster for Rockhold versus Whitaker that didn't happen as well.
Wow. Jesus.
Well, the poster I want, though.
Put those two together.
Yeah, I want the McGregor RDA poster. I've got the key card for the hotel, but I don't have the actual poster.
And then BJJ. This one's easy, right? Like it's a Demi and Maya, or it's a Hadra. Well, Hadra Gracie had good like jiu-jitsu, but for MMA purposes, Charles Oliveira. You know, who are some other greats of the game? I mean, all the best have fought, like Andre Galvan, BJ Penn. Tenkinho. Like
we're forgetting a modern person. We're just forgetting
Mackenzie Dern.
I mean, like that. Prime Ronda Rousey before the women caught up with her.
Not jujitsu per se, but yeah, no, like phenomenal submission grappling.
But just straight from zero to submission in 6 seconds.
In 6 seconds, yeah, quite mean, literally. Like,
I will say historically, you know, a lot of what she did is going to be like, it'll be overrated. Not her pioneering or her stardom, but like the fact that she fought too early. But even with that said, like you could never take away from her the technique and how quickly she just physically dominated people. I mean, it was insane. It was absolutely insane.
It's true. It's true.
All right.
That's it for us, dude.
That's it. Okay. That's just a little holiday treat. Hopefully you enjoyed it. Get you through it.
We have the energy of two pre-euthanized, lobotomized zeros in this podcast. We'll point that out.
The last time they made us do one of these, and I just mailed the whole thing in, Luke. you know, BC and Luke will be back with a bang for December. We got big fights. It should be fun. Gervonta Davis has a pay-per-view. Jake Paul's back. The UFC card on December 11th is batshit awesome. So, look, this is your favorite show for a reason, because we bring it. All right. So continue to send your shit to morningcombat@gmail.com. Like, subscribe. Luke, what's our next goal? We're at 101K. What do you want to get to?
The next thing I have to do today after the end of this podcast, which is like right now.
That's your next goal for subscribers. Okay, great. Good talking to you, Luke. We're out of here. That's it. You know.